Did you know that lavender actually comes in dozens of varieties and they all smell differently and many of them have different growing habits? Well, today's guest is not just a professional lavender farmer, but she runs an essential oil bar where you can sniff your way through 25 different types of lavender. And she's joining us today to share her best growing tips, favorite varieties of lavender to grow, and the wild story about her farm and how it inspired the Starbucks lavender drinks we've all been enjoying this spring.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, plant friends. Welcome. I am Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. Welcome if you're new and welcome home if you're a returning listener. Today's episode is super fun, all about lavender. I feel like lavender is a plant that we all want to grow. It's an herb, as we learn, not a flower. Today, we're going to learn that in this conversation, but we all want to grow lavender, right? It's a beautifully delicate fragrance that so many of us love, and it can grow and thrive very successfully in a garden, but also for beginner gardeners, there are some key mistakes that can be made to really wreck it. So today's guest, Rebecca, the co-owner of Lavender Connection, which is a family-run lavender farm nestled in the lavender capital of the U.S., which you will learn about, joins us for a deep dive on the difference between English, French, and Spanish lavender, how to care for it at home, and like I said earlier, how her farm is the inspiration for a bunch of lavender drinks at Starbucks. It's such a fun conversation. So without further ado, here is Rebecca. Welcome. After meeting you at Northwest Flower and Garden Show, when your booth was right next to the Espoma booth, your beautiful lavender scents were wafting over to the Espoma booth all day. I was in heaven for 3 days. I had to have you come on the podcast and learn more about your company and also more about how to grow lavender from you. So welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I'm so curious. How did you become the lavender queen that you are today? Like, what does that journey look like?
I love that you call me the lavender queen. Mm-hmm. So my parents started the farm. They were looking for a retirement project about 25 years ago. And they came out to Squim when the lavender farms were first starting to kind of happen out here. And they made the choice. They bought this property. The small back corner of it had already been planted. So they kind of took that and ran with it. And me and my sister and my brother kind of were helping them out for, you know, the last 10, 15 years, just coming out in the summers, helping with marketing, that kind of thing, help them get started. And then in 2018, my husband and I came out and we just needed a break from our life in Seattle. And we ended up getting a grant from the state of Washington to repair our barn. And my husband did the work on that. So that kind of extended our stay. And then COVID hit. And after we've been out here for a while, my parents asked if we were interested in maybe taking the farm and managing it and kind of taking over as owners, because they're getting, you know, they're definitely should be retired now. Mm-hmm. So we said yes, but at that point. Yeah. we were kind of eased into it. It was never a specific choice that we sat down and said, we're going to become lavender farmers. That's what my parents did. We just kind of found ourselves here. And we feel very, very lucky that this was not even an option. I mean, I always joke that I'm glad my parents didn't decide to become, you know, like pig farmers or something. Like, this is a much,
yeah.
A much more fun,
much more
farm to take over. Yeah.
And your farm is located in Squim, which I had never heard about before, but Squim is like the capital of lavender growing in the United States. So why are there so many lavender farms in this one tiny little area in the state of Washington?
Yeah. So lavender grows really well in Squim because we're in the rain shadow of the Olympic Mountains. So there's the west side of the Olympic Mountains and the coast that has Forks, which everybody knows because of Twilight, that is all very rainy, very mossy, national park kind of area. We're on the backside of that. So we're in what is known as a rain shadow. And so we get significantly less rain, a lot more sun than pretty much anywhere else in Western Washington. And lavender needs sun. We're also really close to the ocean. The climate is really mild. And in general, the soil is pretty sandy, which is lavender needs pretty well draining soil. So it just was this kind of perfect thing that makes lavender.
Microclimate.
Yeah, this really great microclimate that we're in. And what happened was this was a dairy community for like 100 years. There's dairy barns everywhere. We have a dairy barn, an old dairy barn on our farm, which is what we fixed. And those, as the small family farms were dying, the farmers and the city and the county, they got together and they said, how can we say we want to save our farmland? We don't want this to just become developments. So they discovered that lavender would grow. I mean, this is obviously a very truncated version of the story, but they determined that lavender would grow well here and that would be a great tourism, agritourism draw. So a couple of the farms made the choice and they switched and started the Lavender Festival, and that worked. And people started coming out. People like my parents came out kind of towards the big beginning of it and fell in love with the area and decided to start their own farms. So now we have farms of all sizes and everything from really large farms that are operating like ours to small little pocket farms of other retirees and stuff. And so it is just a really fantastic success story of a public-private kind of decision that was made to save an area.
That's beautiful. So your microclimate obviously probably mimics where lavender grows natively. Where do we find lavender in nature? Where does it grow natively?
So lavender is native to the Mediterranean region.
Okay.
I know of certain varieties that were discovered in like Canary Islands, southern Spain, northern Africa, like Egypt, I think Turkey. I'm not actually sure about France. Mm-hmm. If it's native, considered native France, but certainly that region of the world.
That's so cool. You know, I want to talk to you both through the lens of a gardener who loves growing lavender. I'm growing lavender right now. I love it. I think it's the most therapeutic thing. My favorite thing to do is snip a few pieces of lavender and put it on my dashboard of my car, because the heat comes through the windshield and like heats up my whole car and makes it smell so beautiful. But also, I'm so curious about like what it takes to grow lavender at scale. So let's begin. How many species of lavender are there? How many varieties are there?
So yeah, there's, at last time I checked, there's more than 40 different species if you include the subspecies and the hybrids. There are only three really prominent species to be found in Northern America where you would go to the nursery and find them. And there's really only two species that are farmed up here.
Okay, break those down for me.
Yeah. So there's Lavandula angustifolia, which is known as English lavender. And then there's Lavandula intermedia, which is actually a hybrid that is known as French lavender. And those are the two that you're going to find in farms. The third one is the Lavandula stoichis, which is known as Spanish lavender. That's the ornamental lavender that is like a pineapple with the little ears coming off the top.
Okay. And what are you growing on your farm commercially?
Yeah. So we're actually kind of known for the fact that we have a lot of different varieties. We have another species that isn't as common to grow, Atifolia, which is also known as spike lavender. And that is a true lavender as well. So it's basically, French lavender is a hybrid between English lavender and spike lavender. It's a subspecies of those. So we have one row of spike lavender just for fun, but we also primarily have the angustifolias and the intermedias. And right now, I think out in the fields, we have like 40 different varieties, but we also have like a little viewing garden where I try to bring in cool different new varieties and new species and stuff. So there's like another 10 or 15 in that as well, where you can just kind of look at them. But those aren't being farmed. Those are just there for people to see.
Wow. So I feel like I've gone to the garden center before and I've seen English lavender and I've seen French lavender. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand the difference between the two. So what are the positives and negatives for each one?
So there's a couple of primary differences. English lavenders are going to be smaller and more compact. That's a big difference. And the intermedia lavenders are the lavenders that you see that can get to be 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide, that have the huge, huge base and huge long flowing stems. For a gardener, that's the primary difference. The other thing is the English lavenders tend to have a lot more variety in terms of color. You can get pink English lavenders that you can't, and I don't believe there's a variety of pink intermedia. There are a couple of different white intermedias, but there's a lot of different white angustifolias. And then within the angustifolias, there's also different shades of purple. It's just a lot more variety for your garden. Angustifolias also...
Sorry, angustifolia is English and...
English, sorry. Yes, I try to use the Latin name because if you have international...
I appreciate it. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. If you have international... I learned that like some people in France don't call it French lavender. They call it Spanish, or they call it Portuguese lavender or something. You know what I mean? So it just gets very confusing if you don't use the Latin name. But yes, so the English lavenders, the angustifolias, they also tend to be better in colder climates. Some people also refer to them as high altitude lavenders. You can also, someone might use the word true lavender. For English lavender, that's all the angustifolia. Starting out, I think in North America, an English lavender tends to be, for most of the country, probably a little bit simpler to grow. But that switches if you're in the south, if you're in the desert, if you're in really, really hot areas, you might actually want an intermedia that's going to be prefer hotter weather.
Yeah, my mom in our old house growing up, she lined the pathway with lavender and it was the big one. So that's the French lavender. It was the one that got like 3 feet tall. And it was unbelievable when you walked up, you know, the pathway to our house, you would just like get accosted by lavender. It was so beautiful. So for the gardener who wants to care for lavender, what are the things that we need to know? What makes lavender happy? You know, I was just in a yoga class with a girl who I met and I was trying to be friends with her. And she was like, oh, you're into plants? I just killed lavender. I've heard of a lot of failures with lavender. So what do we need to know about it?
Yeah, it's really interesting because lavender is actually a very hardy plant once it's established. So it's one of those, it's an herb. We're used to thinking of lavender as a flower, but it's important, especially if anybody's a gardener that's used to gardening some things, to switch your mindset and think of lavender as an herb. Think of it like a thyme or a rosemary. It's a woody perennial plant, as opposed to thinking of it as a flower like a zinnia, right?
Okay.
So it is an herb. And again, once it's established, once you get it to like the third year mark, lavender can just grow. It can just grow on the side of the road and you don't pay any attention to it. Eventually, it'll get woody and look terrible, but it doesn't require a lot. It's just at the very beginning, making sure that it's happy when it's getting started. And so the two major things that you have to do, it needs sunshine. So I would buyer beware of anyone that tells you that you can grow lavender inside. Lavender is not going to be happy as a houseplant. If you need to keep it inside for a little while, sure, but it's not going to thrive inside your house, even if you've got it up next to the window. It wants as much sunlight as possible, bare minimum, I would say 6 hours a day, but even then it's going to be unhappy. Okay. So, you know, you're going to want 8 hours.
So that's probably
hours.
Why people struggle with it indoors, probably for a sunlight issue, if they bring it indoors to try to keep it as a house plant. And then what about the watering?
Yeah. And then the second thing I was going to say is lavender, the thing that kills lavender more than anything, especially in the Pacific Northwest, is root rot. So lavender absolutely desperately needs well-draining soil. And all that means is that's why you sometimes see lavender like mounded up. And that's because wherever they're growing the lavender, they decided that the water table was too high or they had too much compact clay or something. And so they couldn't. So they just mounded up. And that will work because lavender's roots are actually not very deep. Usually a mature lavender plant is only going to go down about 18 inches. So it's not like you have to plow around, you know, get a tractor out and go 3 feet down in your garden in order to plant a lavender plant. But if you know that you have sticky soil, if you know that you have clay soil, especially again in the Seattle area, if you know that that's a problem that you have, you just have to amend it before you plant it and make sure that when you're amending it, all you have to do is add, I mean, we do that. We go, you know, like when I plant in like a small area, not out in the farm, but if I'm like landscaping with it, you can just go to Home Depot and get one of those $7 bags of construction gravel. That's all it needs. And you just mix it. You want it to be almost like succulent, like a cactus. Like you want the water to drain through. I like to say lavender likes a shower, not a bath. So it's not that you don't want to water it. It's not that lavender can't handle water. It's that the roots can't sit in it. So when you amend, so whether or not you're planting it in a pot or whether you're amending soil in your garden, you have to also think big think to how big it's going to get. Do not just, because the other mistake people make is they'll be like, oh, I need to make sure there's some sand, and they've got this tiny little plant. And so they amend the soil for just, 12 inches around and, 5 inches deep. And the plant is really happy for the first year. And then they get to year two and they're like, oh, why did my lavender die? And I'm like, well, because its roots grew. And then they went out to the wet clay soil and then they got root rot and then it died. So just think to make sure you know what variety you're buying. Spend 5 minutes on the internet and see how big that plant's going to get. Most English lavenders are going to get to be, like I said, no, as long as you go 18 inches down, you're fine.
Wedding season is here, let's be real. I just got back from one. I've got more to come this year. And plan friends, if you are looking for the best gift to get your friends or your family for a wedding, an anniversary, a birthday, look no further than the Wind River Wind Chime. It is my absolute favorite gift to give. If you listen to this podcast, you know I have two Wind River Wind Chimes on either side of my house because I love them so much, I can't walk out a door without hearing them. A Wind River Wind Chime is the perfect gift to give someone. It is so unique because Wind River Wind Chimes really become part of the couple's home or part of the person that you're gifting's home. Every time the wind blows, it's going to bring a gentle reminder to them of their love, their vows, and the people who celebrated them. That's you. Plus, they have a whole line of wedding and anniversary chimes that can be personalized with dates, and they come with these really beautifully engraved wind sails for the anniversary or wedding. They're made in the U.S. They have the most amazing, deep quality, resonant tones. They're weather resistant. I've had mine outside for years. They are still in perfect shape. I cannot recommend Wind River Wind Chimes enough. Plus, you get a free engraving with the code GROWINGJOY at checkout at windriverchimes.com. So you get to personalize the gift for yourself or for your loved ones for free with the code GROWINGJOY at checkout at windriverchimes.com. You will not be disappointed. The people I have gifted Wind River Chimes to have been thanking me for years. Every time I talk to them, they're still like, thank you so much for that chime. It makes me so happy. I'm not exaggerating, plant friends. So once again, that's windriverchimes.com and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for a free engraving for a gift that will soothe the soul. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
In terms of how wide you want to go, you've got to imagine the roots are, it's like a tree. The roots are going to be the same as the canopy up top, right? So if the plant is going to get to be 3 feet wide, like an English lavender, that's as wide as you want to go. If it's going to be a French lavender, you're going to want to go 4 feet wide. Grab some construction gravel and just dig it into the dirt. that you're putting it in. You don't have to worry so much about like fertilizing or anything like that. You just need to make sure that the roots aren't sitting in water.
Wow. What does root rot look like in a lavender plant? So does it look like crispy leaves? Does it look like mushy leaves? Like, how do we know?
It kind of can present in different ways. It's not going to be crispy leaves. It might be yellow leaves. They might kind of turn like a weird purple color.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to die. You'll notice in the spring that it isn't putting out any new green growth. And then the biggest way you can tell is if you reach down to be like, oh, is this dead? And you go to pull it and it just pulls off the plant, the woody part.
Right. There's no roots left. That's
well, it just means that the rot has gone up to the root. And so that, you know, and that happens to the best of us. Like, you shouldn't feel guilty if that happened. Like, sometimes you can do all of the planning that you think is appropriate and something happens and that still happens.
Yeah.
Another mistake that home gardeners make is they'll mulch around the lavender, which again is going to trap the moisture. The only you would mulch is if you weren't planning to water it at all. If you had it out like maybe at the end of your driveway along the road and there's no irrigation and you're like, well, I'm just going to see what happens and it's going to have to suck moisture from the air and good luck to you, lavender. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to do that, that can work. We have some bark mulch out in our sandpit garden because we don't water that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of traps enough moisture throughout like the really hot periods of July and August that it keeps it, but we're not adding water to it. You do not want to mulch around lavender if you're watering it. And you certainly don't want to plant lavender next to a plant like roses where you're going to be watering them a lot. Because if you had well-draining soil, it probably would just be too much.
Interesting. So treat it like a succulent. Treat it like a succulent cactus situation.
Except that you do want to water it when it's a baby. Other big mistake that new gardeners make with lavenders are like, oh, Rebecca said treat it like a succulent. And so they just take this tiny little plant with no root system and stick it outside and walk away for 3 months. Then that will die. You have to, it's the first couple of years. You need to water it, you know, stick your finger in. And if it's down to your knuckle an inch and it's dry, you can water it again. Most of the year in Washington, you don't have to water it until we get to like July and August, truly.
Mm.
But you do need to water it in July and August because if there's no water, then it will die up until it gets to be mature. And then once it's about, like I said, about 3 years old, if you've gotten it that far, it's probably going to be fine. And you can, I mean, we have our back field, the one that was originally planted when my parents bought the property, we still have those plants, a lot of those plants, and there's no irrigation back there. We never water it. So I'm sure they would be healthier and happier if we did occasionally water them in August, but we don't. You don't have to. So
So what does it look like to be a lavender farmer? So you're growing these lavender plants, mm-hmm. not to sell the plants. Your stand at Northwest Flower and Garden Show had unbelievable sprays and dried lavender and soaps and creams and all that kind of stuff. So like, what does it look like to grow lavender at scale and make a business out of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. There's lots of different, you have to decide what you want to do. You know, I actually do like propagating and I would love to have a better greenhouse where I could propagate more of our varieties. I do a little bit to sell, but I don't have a big enough space for that. But is that what you enjoy? Because if that's what you enjoy, then you can make an entire business out of propagating and selling lavender plants. Do you want to do wholesale? Do you want to do bouquets at wholesale? You know, because you have to think about that kind of thing before you plant. So that you know.
And what is Lavender Connections business model? What are you guys selling?
Well, we were presented with something that was already planted and there were already like 20 different varieties out there. So we didn't make, we were like, well, and we also, because we're part of Squim, we're part of the agritourism industry. So we were like, well, I guess our thing is lots of different varieties. So we just went with it because that's what we had. If you're starting from scratch, you can decide, is that what you want? Or do you just, maybe you just want to grow bud? You want to do sachet bud and you want to do bud that you can eat. Maybe you want to do bud and bouquets. Maybe do you want to be a place for people to visit? In that case, are they going to be cutting the lavender? Because the lavender, maybe then you want to grow some different colors, you know? So you just have to kind of, there's lots of different ways that you can sell lavender. Are you going to be making products? Do you want, so then you want the good essential oil. So there are certain varieties of lavender that produce more oil. So those are the ones that you're going to want to plant because then you're going to get more production out of the same amount of plants. We just have a smorgasbord of, we just went for it and we're just keep trying to embrace. So we do all of it because we do a little bit of all of it and we don't do wholesale. We just do all retail and it's really fun. We have a, so we have an essential oil bar. It's like a little wine tasting for your nose where you can smell like 20 to 25 different varieties. Most people don't smell all of them. They pick like five of them, but they do smell different from each other. So it's kind of a fun way to explore the plant and kind of a different experience from just going out and looking at it. And, you know, it's really fun to be like, oh my gosh, I really love the smell of that one. And then it's like a little scavenger hunt going out in the field and finding the plant, seeing what it looks like.
Well, that's so cool. So you agrotourism. So people are coming to your farm and they're taking a tour and they're walking through the fields and they're smelling and all of that kind of stuff. And then they can come to your shop, do your retail shop and buy the products that you're making with these different types of lavender.
Yes. So we're open during the summer. There are some farms out here that are open even longer than we are. It's just me and my husband and my dad at this point. So we don't have a lot of people. So we're open Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day. And yeah, people can come. They can just have a picnic. It's totally free to visit. A lot of people come to take pictures. Some people come because they're actually really curious about lavender and they want to learn about, you know, they can ask questions. How do I plant? I mean, the question, how do I not kill my lavender? It comes up at least twice a day all summer long.
Yeah.
It's a very common question, very understandable. But also people have questions about, how does a lavender smell different? And, oh, you can eat lavender? What does it taste like? You know, there's all sorts of things that people can learn, which is really fun. They can just wander around and explore. And then, yeah, we have a shop and they can cut a bouquet of fresh lavender while they're here.
Yeah. Well, that's delightful. Yes, yeah, Starbucks has a lavender-inspired line of coffees this spring, which I was like, tell me.
That was our farm.
Wait, what?
I know. So last year they came out with the lavender drinks and I put out a joke on social media. I was like, I'm just going to pretend like they came to our farm. And the Squim Gazette reporter, Matthew Nash, contacted me and he was like, hey, I saw that was really funny. Do you happen to know which Squim farm they visited? And I was like, no. And he was like, I'll reach out to Starbucks. It was our farm. Starbucks came to our farm and they did our essential oil bar and smelled all the different smells and came up with this idea for the lavender drinks.
What?
I know. How exciting is that?
They never reached out to you?
No.
They never reached out to you to try to do like a partnership or like take some photos or something?
Well, so then the local Starbucks, I saw them at like an event and they were serving the lavender drinks. And I was like, that was my farm. And the local like manager was super excited. And they came out and they brought like their district managers out. And because like whoever visited our farm was like high up in corporate. They were not talking to the local managers. So the local managers came out. We did like a special event for the local people. And then I'm talking to her about maybe trying to do like a little pop-up this spring where people can come to the Starbucks and like talk to us and learn about lavender and stuff. But yeah, I know it's super cool. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if that's not a vote of confidence that Starbucks visited, you know, their whole lavender line is inspired from you. That's wild. Wow. That's so cool. So what's your favorite type of lavender that you're growing? Do you have a favorite? Is that like the cruelest question I could ever ask?
Yeah. It really is because, I mean, it really changes. I mean, honestly, I love like different lavenders for different things. You know, I have, you know, there's a pink lavender called Melissa Lavender. I really like the smell of that. Although there's a new pink one that I just started growing called Miss Catherine that's got kind of almost like hot pink, which might beat out Melissa. There's Row 19, which is a variety that is one of those that I was saying we can't, probably doesn't exist anywhere else at this point. This is a really funny story. So that field that was planted when my parents bought the property, the 19th row was mislabeled. It was labeled as an angustifolia and it was very clearly an intermediate lavender. We could tell that they had just put the wrong label on it, but the nursery that the previous owners had bought it from closed down. So there was no way to find out what this variety could have been. So we just started calling it Row 19 because it was the 19th row in our field. And it turned out to be our favorite oil. So I learned to propagate lavender so that we could save, because once it died, it would be gone, right? Because we didn't know what it was. So I learned to propagate so that we could save Row 19 oil. So now we have an entire field of Row 19, which is hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. So I also love Row 19 because it's like my baby. I propagated 500 plants. So yeah.
So that's so fascinating. So with the little time that we have left for this interview, I need to ask you, you know, you mentioned essential oils. Mm-hmm. I did an interview on how to make essential oils once. It's not that easy. You know, like for the home gardener, I'm like, I don't know if I would recommend a home gardener making essential oils from their lavender that they grow. But what are different things that we could do should we choose to grow lavender that, you know, I have lavender in my front yard. So like, what are the different ways that I can harvest it and use it for something else that you would suggest that are like maybe a little easier than having like a full, you know, chemistry setup in my kitchen?
Yeah. So you can, if you want to harvest lavender for like a bouquet, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Or for bud, you could, basically it's the same thing. You would harvest it and then let it dry. And then if you wanted to use it for bud, you would just have to take the stem and like pull the buds off. And then you could make sachets out of it. And if it was English lavender, you could eat it. If you wanted to cook with it, try to make your own Starbucks drink. Mm-hmm.
Make my own lavender simple syrup or something.
Yeah, you do want to make sure if you're eating the lavender that it's an English. The French lavender won't hurt you, but it won't taste very good. If you've ever had lavender that tastes like soap, it's because they use the French lavender. The French lavender has more camphor in it. So it's just going to be kind of bitter. It's not going to taste as good. So you do probably want to just make sure that what you're harvesting for food is the English kind. And yeah, the key if you want to harvest for a bouquet or bud though, is you have to get it before it flowers. So because the buds are before the flowers come out, right?
Before
so if
flower,
you wait,
yeah.
if you wait till the end of this summer to harvest for bud, there's not really going to be any bud left. You're just going to be harvesting. It's just going to be chaff. It's going to be other bits of lavender. So you'd have to decide like, do I want to take a big chunk out of my lavender plant or like harvest my lavender plant just before it blooms at the beginning of July. You
now,
can
dry the leaves. The leaves are scented too, right?
So the leaves are scented. You could. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they have as much of the essential oil, but it's certainly not going to hurt. I mean, yeah, all of the lavender bits are going to have some smell.
Okay. I love it. Is it, if I wanted to make a oil or a body butter or a cream or this or that, like if I wanted to make it into something not edible and not just like in a sachet, like what's the easiest thing? Is essential oil the easiest thing? Mm-hmm. Like what would be the easiest kind of alchemy that I could do with it?
I mean, essential oil is really just what you want to use if you're making products. I know there are some herbalists that can, you know, you could infuse like a coconut oil with some bud and then strain it out, you know, like an unscented oil or like a sunflower oil and then use that oil. But you'd have to put so much in there because you're not going to get a ton of oil out of the bud just floating in another oil. Like it's possible, but it's going to be really, really subtle. So unless you want to buy a still in order to distill the essential oil, I wouldn't try to make like a creamy product out of the lavender. Yeah. You'd be disappointed, I think.
We don't have to make creamy products because you have so many great products. I know you have that myth that was selling really nicely. I'm just thinking like coming to your farm for a girls' weekend would be so fun.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free plant parent personality test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
So, like, tell me where we can find you if we wanted to book like an actual in-person visit. And then also, what are all the different products that we could get with Row 19 Lavender or all of your different lavender things?
Well, Row 19 Lavender is actually what we use in our products because we love it so much.
Right.
Pretty much anything except the face care line, we use the Row 19 Lavender in it.
Wow.
Yeah. You can come to the farm. Like I said, we're open. You don't have to have a reservation or anything. We're open Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can go to our website, lavenderconnection.com, and that has all sorts of visitor information about how to get here and what to do when you're here. Yeah, and we just have we have tons of different products. We've got this lavender spritz, we've got body butter and lotions, we've got soap, we've got candles,
and then also,
yeah, all sorts of gifts. And then we also have a culinary line, cookies and mixes and chocolate and all of that.
Oh my God. And it's just you, your husband, and your dad. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you're so amazing. Thank you so much. I think we've saved a lot of potential dead lavender plants if people didn't listen to this episode. So lots of sunlight and well-draining soil is what it sounds like. We'll put lavenderconnection.com and all the places that people can follow you in the show notes. And thank you so much. And I hope that you have like the best season of tourism yet and that you grow really beautiful lavender this summer.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, plant friends, I hope this inspired you to brew yourself a cup of lavender tea, maybe spritz a little bit of lavender spray. We're going to leave Rebecca and the Lavender Connections links in the show notes in case you want to go potentially purchase from her or visit. I wish I was in Seattle so I could go visit her. Her farm sounds so delightful. And let me know if you grow lavender successfully in your garden and what types you grow. I'll be posting on social media asking a bunch of lavender questions. So hop over there at Growing Joy with Maria to join the conversation. I love you, plant friends. I hope that this episode, as well as all of the other episodes, help you continue to keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, it takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're gonna get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.